Environmental Natural Resources Committee, order January 26, 2012, at 3:00 p.m. Folks, we have a very short agenda today. We're going to be talking about the same topic, I guess, they had over in the House earlier today, and that's the most recent developments with the delisting of the gray wolf in Minnesota. Before doing that, we have a new member. We'd like to welcome to the committee.
Thank you.
Senator Carrie Dietzick. Looking forward to having you on the committee. So with that, we'll move forward with Ed Bogus from the DNR. He's going to go over what you have in your packet. You have a bill. Nobody's presenting a bill today. It's just going through the bill that the DNR's, and I guess it's fair to say, Mr. Bogus, this is the DNR proposal. And I say that because there are a couple others out there, and I think Senator Saxhog has a bill, as well as Representative Dill. I think there may be the same bills. If you're interested in looking those up, please do that. But this is the proposal from the DNR. So welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. For the record, I'm Ed Bogus, Director of Fish and Wildlife for the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. I have with me Mr. Dan Stark, who's our wolf and large carnivore specialist. And we did appear before this group a couple weeks ago in the interim to talk a little bit about delisting and the changes with state management that will occur. That delisting rule was published in late December, takes effect tomorrow. So 12:01 tomorrow morning, wolves will be back under state management. One of the things that's different under delisting this time than delisting in 2007 and 2009, which in 2007 that was for an 8-month period and then just a couple months in 2009. But at that time there was a state law that required a 5-year basically wait or moratorium after delisting before we could consider a season. That 5-year wait was put into effect back in 2000 when delisting was imminent. At least that was the expectation. But there were attempts in 2003, 2007, 2009, either failed to go into effect or were overturned or withdrawn after they went into effect because of procedural issues. So we're finally back to a final delisting rule taking effect tomorrow. We do have the authority now to do a season, and that's the focus of for today. If there are questions about state management, we reviewed that fairly thoroughly a couple weeks ago, but since it's so imminent now, if you've got any questions that have come up since that time, we could go back to those. But
Mr. Bogus, for the committee, maybe you would like to talk about the supervision, if you will, with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife that's going to continue for the next 5 years and how that, just so they understand that that's still going on.
Yes, Mr. Chair and members, there is a, when a species is delisted, there's, for any species, there's what's called a 5-year post-delisting monitoring period, in which the Fish and Wildlife Service monitors the species to make sure that it's continuing to thrive and that there's no new threats identified. And actually, I have a copy of the plan, the post-delisting monitoring plan for the gray wolf that's available online, so we could send you that link. But for the next 5 years, there's no federal protection continues after delisting, but for the next 5 years, the Fish and Wildlife Service will be monitoring populations in Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, making sure that recovery is not being jeopardized by any unforeseen threats or disease or anything like that. So, and during that time, they can go back and relist a species if some reason is identified to do that. So,
excuse me, Mr. Bogus, on that same note, if you would clarify, along with the federal responsibility now being shifted to the state, goes the deprivation program as well. Maybe you want to talk about that. And that's probably part of the bill here. I might be getting ahead of you here, but if you are, that's fine.
Mr. Chair, that's a good question, and that was not, it really isn't part of this bill, but just for the committee to make sure everybody knows what we're talking about, there's been a federal wolf damage control program since they were listed in the 1970s, and that program initially was in Department of Interior, but it was transferred about 30 years ago to U.S. Department of Agriculture. And that program, you know, has been continuing during the previous delistings, but because of the federal budget situation, about a year ago, they cut everything that was a line item appropriation or what they called an earmark, and there was a line item appropriation for Western Great Lakes. So their federal budget has been cut, not quite to zero, but about a $500,000 a year program now only has about $100,000. So as of December 31st, they have shut down the federal wolf control program. There aren't very many wolf damage complaints at this time of year because the cattle are not really out in the woods right now. But that damage will start to peak later on this spring, and there is no agreement right now as to or whether to keep a federal wolf control program going. So one of the things that is in this bill that we'll be talking about is what the state can do for and what individuals can do to help themselves who have livestock problems. But we're still looking at some stopgap funding of that program during the spring calving season, at least initially, with some appropriations. The state's wolf management plan envisioned a 50-50 cost share federal program continuing. And we, back in 2006 or so, successfully obtained an appropriation for wolf control out of the Game and Fish Fund of $120,000 a year that we still have on an annual basis. At that time, they said they didn't need the 50% cost share. They were only short $120,000 a year to maintain a full program. So we have that appropriation. It's about $110,000 for this fiscal year remaining because we've used some of it to do some sample collection, another $120,000 in July. So we would like to, while things get hashed out here and elsewhere in terms of wolf management going forward, we'd like to continue to be able to provide some relief through that program season. So we intend to enter into a contract for a cooperative service agreement, probably starting in March, for as long as that $110,000 lasts, while the rest of this issue gets sorted out. But eventually, if there's no continuing federal program, we would emphasize the provisions in law that allow landowners, or livestock owners, and pet owners to control wolves themselves. Certified predator controllers that we would certify and pay to take wolves who would be private trappers or hunters, expertise and a willingness to take wolves, and then technical assistance to private individuals who want to learn how to do it on their own. We could help provide training materials too. So that part, Mr. Chairman and members, is still up in the air, and it's only partially going to be addressed by what we have here. Just quickly to get into the fact sheet, we are proposing, and I'm going to have Mr. Stark walk through the details, but we're proposing a kind of a measured and conservative approach initially because we've never had a managed wolf season in Minnesota. Wolves went in the summer of 1974 after the Endangered Species Act of 73, they went from a totally unprotected species to a totally protected species. So DNR has never managed a wolf season. We don't know what kind of hunter interest there will be, what kind of success rates there will be. We don't want to do anything that would jeopardize the delisting and have them be put back under federal control. We want to use initial season or seasons to help gather information on wolves and wolf biology that can help inform future seasons. So this first season is not designed to achieve management objectives of population densities or anything like that. It's to provide some opportunity for a season that will help inform futures. So with that, I think I'll turn it over to Mr. Stark to go through the specifics of our proposal, and then we can stand for questions or we can go through specific language if you'd like to do that.
Welcome, Mr. Stark.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and committee. My name is Dan Stark. I'm the large carnivore specialist for DNR. And I'll just kind of run through the fact sheet that we provided to you, give you an overview of what our wolf season recommendation is for 2012. The season would run from late November through early January. It is similar to our existing bobcat season when pelt conditions are kind of at their peak in December and January. We're not recommending at this time any specific management units. We would allow people to hunt anywhere within the state, and wolves would generally be taken where they're more accessible there'd be kind of a natural system of zones, we believe, based on areas of the state that have better access for hunters or trappers. And some of those areas may coincide with where some of the depredation occurs, but it's generally just to kind of get an idea of where hunters and trappers have an interest and where the take would occur. A quota of 400 wolves, and that would be either the season would close when we reach that number or at the end of the season date. And then allow one wolf per hunter or trapper as a limit, and selling 6,000 licenses through a lottery process. People would apply, and we would select hunters through a lottery. The methods of take would be hunting, big game, firearms, archery, or muzzleloader, similar to other big game seasons that we have. Firearms that are appropriate for big game now would be also appropriate for wolves. And calls and baits would be allowed with some restrictions and no dogs to chase or pursue wolves. Trapping would also be another part of the season. Foothold traps allowed under the current state trap restrictions. It would basically cover most wolf traps that are out there commercially available to trappers. And then also snares would be allowed, but in order to be effective at using snares for wolf trapping, some modifications would need to be made to the current snare restrictions under state law. So as Mr. Bogus had mentioned, this is an inaugural season to gauge hunter and trapper interest, success rates, and data gathering. There's no specific population management objective. We expect that there'd be little to no influence on overall wolf numbers with this quota. And we've identified several critical elements for this initial season. A conservative first-year quota, limiting the number of hunters, the ability to close the season when we're approaching or we reach that quota so that we don't go over the overall number. Because of the uncertainty in regards to hunter success and trapping success rates, I think that's a pretty important point that we want to make sure that we have the ability to close the season. In order to track the progress, we would have a system where we could do same-day registration, so people would either call in or use the internet to report that they've taken a wolf. And then after the season, we would have a deadline for people to submit carcasses so that we could gather information on wolves that are taken during the season, that we want to collect biological information to help inform us about the population and help develop a model to track the population. And then also this winter, or next winter 2012-2013, we would implement our wolf survey as we've done in the past to see where we're at with current wolf population and distribution. We have a map on the document. This map illustrates both wolf management zones and the current wolf distribution in the state. So the zones are really established as for depredation management purposes as part of our wolf plan. It allows more flexibility for individuals to take wolves in regards to livestock depredation in Zone B. And in Zone A, there's more protection in the core wolf range for wolves. And then the orange line there outlines the current distribution of wolf range, where wolves occur in relation to those zones. The population was estimated at approximately 2,900 wolves in our last wolf survey in 2008. And we don't have a specific estimate for Zone B, but included in that total wolf range, if you just used the area of Zone A and the average pack size and territory size, it's probably split about 2,500 wolves in Zone A and 500 wolves in that portion of the wolf range in Zone B. Using the information from the first season or seasons, we would develop an adaptive management approach to kind of gauge harvest, hunter success, and use that information in future seasons. And then over time, develop specific management objectives for trying to address some of the depredation issues in regards to where there's higher depredation rates, there may be more allowance for take of wolves in those areas. And then also developing a population model that we can track harvest over time and population estimates each year. So that's kind of a broad overview of our season recommendation.
Senator Scoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Mr. Starks. Do you have any plans on this first year to try to figure out so that all of the wolves that get taken aren't in one relatively small area, or how are you thinking of managing that?
Mr. Chair and Senator Scoey, I think that our approach this first year is just to allow hunters and trappers to go where they decide that they want to trap or try to take a wolf. We don't have any specific plans to try to distribute the harvest, and we think that trappers and hunters that have traditional areas will likely use those areas where they've seen wolf sign or observed wolves in the past. And we don't have any specific zones identified for the first season.
And Mr. Chair, will a hunter who goes through the lottery and gets his license then, could he hunt with a firearm one day and trap the next, or how is all that going to work out?
Mr. Stark.
Mr. Chair and Senator Scoey, I believe under this proposal, if you have a wolf license, you would be able to choose whether you want to hunt or trap, as long as you meet the minimum requirements for being eligible to trap in Minnesota, which we do have a trapper certification for people that were born in 1989 or later, so they do have to meet some trapper eligibility requirements.
Mr. Chair, just on that point, we have had some discussion about the possible need to designate some of these permits as trapping permits, just because if we just do a random draw of applicants, we have about 6,000 trappers in the state and, you know, 500,000 hunters, and we may need to reserve some for trappers because that will be the more effective technique, and we want to make sure we get a significant number of trapping people that want to trap wolves out there. So I don't know if, Mr. Stark, if we have a specific proposal for that, but it, you know, if we do that, then there would be a trapping license for wolves that would be just for trapping.
Senator Scoy, follow-up?
Yeah, just one more quick. Back to the distribution of the hunt. I understand this first year you're not going to plan on managing that at all, but in the long run, do you anticipate that where there's more depredation problems with cattle or pets that you would then concentrate more hunting in those areas, or do you have any thought on that?
Mr. Stark.
Mr. Chair, Senator Scoey, I think that would be one objective for future seasons to try to influence the depredation conflicts with with the use of taking wolves or reducing wolf numbers in those areas. And we could identify that based on, you know, where those hot spots are for depredations.
Thank you.
Senator Saxon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Stark, could you just this is a good summary, and I understand the reasons for doing what we would do certainly in the first year, but discuss a little bit on the hunting season late November through January with the bobcat versus having the season during the deer hunting season.
Mr. Stark.
Mr. Chair, Senator Saxog, based on pelt primeness and you know, and generally in some of the information that's published on fur bearers, there's charts available to look at when those pelt conditions are prime or at their peak. And for wolves, that's generally in December through January. Earlier in the year, say early November, they would still be, you know, decent quality. They would probably be coming into prime, but they aren't going to be that, you know, in the best condition. They aren't going to have been fully developed at that point.
Okay. And just a quick follow-up. And then I realize there's a lot more hunters out during deer season, but you don't, from what I read right here, and again, this is really good information. There isn't any particular problem with the reporting of them, and you know, we could regulate that. You don't have any particular fears about that, do you? That we're going to have an overharvest, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Mr. Stark.
Mr. Chair, Senator Saxog, I think there's some uncertainty initially with that many hunters out during the firearms deer season. If you just look at the map in Zone A, that's basically Zone 1 for deer hunting. And that first weekend, we have about 160,000 deer hunters in that part of the state. And, you know, depending on the number of licenses and how we would do that, if we're limiting the number, it may not be a real big issue, but I think it's still difficult to really gauge that interest and know how many people are trying to pursue wolves as opposed to just taking one incidental to while they're out there big game hunting. I think the strategy that, you know, we're proposing is that you're developing a hunting niche around the species rather than just taking it while you're doing something else. So the number of hunters, I think there's some uncertainty about that. The long-term interest in that type of approach, I think there's some uncertainty in that. But as far as a specific issue, as long as we can assure that we don't over-harvest or go over the number that we set, I think that's the main aspect that we're trying to address.
Thank you.
Mr. Stark, if I could follow up with that, and I'll get to you, Senator Carlson. Can you go over, for the committee members, the numbers that we have in Minnesota, projected numbers, versus North Dakota versus Wisconsin, neighboring states? That's always a question about a lot of things.
Mr. Chair, is that the number of wolves that we have?
That's correct.
Great. In Minnesota, we've estimated our wolf population, like I said, about 2,900 wolves. In Wisconsin, there's approximately 800 wolves on their last survey. They do an annual population count. We do a periodic survey every 5 years. And they're probably likely at a minimum number of wolves that they're counting. North Dakota doesn't estimate a wolf population, and they probably just have a few individual wolves that, you know, cross over the Red River every once in a while and end up in North Dakota, but they don't have a population per se.
Can you give me a little sense, or the committee, the sense then why the large numbers here? I have an idea why, but can you tell me why the large numbers in Minnesota versus in Wisconsin?
Mr. Chair, in Minnesota, we've always had a wolf population. It was never extirpated as it was in the rest of the lower 48 states. So we've always had the wolf population here. It's connected to Canada, which has a population of wolves estimated to be about 50,000 to 60,000 wolves. And so Our population has expanded as kind of a southern extension of that larger wolf population in Canada, and Wisconsin is disconnected from that. They probably don't have the same amount of area or suitable areas for wolves in the state. It seems like their population is kind of getting to the point where it's maybe stabilizing a bit. But, you know, we've got an abundant prey source here for wolves, and that's probably why wolves do really well here. The forested areas of the state and the number of deer seem to be the primary things that that kind of drive wolf numbers.
Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Stark, how confident are you that all 6,000 licenses would be, that there'd be enough applicants in the lottery? Is that
Mr. Chair, Senator Carlson, I think it's realistic that we would sell that many licenses, and there's probably a lot more interest, especially depending on the timing of the season. In some of the western states where there's fewer wolves and fewer big game hunters, Montana and Idaho, for instance, have recently had wolf seasons, and in Montana, they sold 15,000 licenses. In Idaho, they sold about 30,000 licenses their first season. But they had unlimited number of licenses available and didn't allow trapping. That's one thing we may not have mentioned, is that we expect trapping to be much more effective at catching wolves and would have a higher success rate using that technique.
Follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And if I read the bill, I did it kind of quickly, but you're suggesting perhaps a $50 license fee, and then the question, I guess, is the amount of money that you're going to need as a department to work your management plan, and that obviously would be an adequate amount of resources. And
Mr. Bogus,
Mr. Chair and Senator Carlson, yes, we already have made some investments in wolf management in anticipation of delisting, including Mr. Stark's position and a research biologist, both in Grand Rapids, you know, some money to do research and things like that. We'll now have the opportunity to recoup some of those costs. But the question has also been raised, and we're working on an analysis of what additional costs will there be to run the drawing, to collect the biological data and all that kind of stuff associated with actually having a season. And there will be some cost to that. It isn't going to be a huge cost, but we are working on an estimate of that cost and probably get that into a fiscal note here or a similar format soon. But we do anticipate that there would be, in addition to the licenses that would be sold, we don't really know how many applications that we'll get, but we're proposing a $4 fee for applications, and our guess for purposes of estimating revenue is that we'd get 25,000 applications for those 6,000 licenses. So we're estimating, you know, right now, and it's, you know, we don't really have a track record to base it off of, but we're estimating $400,000 a year of new revenue.
Follow up.
And one last question. Can you describe what the carcass submission process would look like? Give us a little idea of that.
Mr. Chair, Senator Carlson, like we do with other fur bearers, we have dates that trappers need to submit the carcass to a wildlife office, and we collect those carcasses and then collect information on the carcasses, age, sex of the animal, reproductive rates is another thing that we can look at, and all that information can help us build a population model. So it you know, outside of the carcass itself, you know, the hunter or trapper would be able to keep the hide or the pelt and most likely the skull, maybe with the exception of a tooth, so that we can age the animal.
Senator Gazelka, then Dietzik, and then Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A comment first. I was hoping to see something like a drawing for trapping, and then over the counter for the deer during the deer season for gun or archery. we could set the numbers different. I recognize the caution in the beginning. I appreciate that. But I guess my question related to that is there any long-term plans to do it during the deer season? Because I think you would have a lot more interested people participating that way than those that would buy trapping licenses.
Mr. Chair and Senator Gazelka, I think that's definitely a possibility in future years, and in particular, probably in areas where, like Zone B or other areas where we have significant depredation. It's really hard to predict where this is going to go. We expect the first year there to be a lot of interest and the wolves to be maybe somewhat naive to hunting and trapping because they've been, you know, not hunted legally for, you know, 35 years. But, you know, to the extent that we can get to over-the-counter and all that kind of depends on how successful people are and how many of them are interested and what our objectives are. But, you know, initially, given the, you know, the high numbers of hunters in the woods and the lack of data on success rates, we just don't want to jump into that system immediately. But I could see down the road that we could get to that, yes.
Follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And you know, I just take a look at the numbers. If you have 160,000 deer hunters in Zone 1 and you look at the numbers in Idaho of 1%, you know, if every one of them bought a license, you know, you're looking at 1,600, which is probably above your model. But I just don't want to lose that opportunity. You know, I think there's a lot of deer hunters that would like that. And if you offer it over the counter, the price goes down. Instead of $50, it's whatever, $15 or whatever. And so my hope is that as we have data, that we certainly don't exclude that. And I sure would like, I haven't talked to the Deer Hunters Association. I'd like to hear their feedback as well.
Senator DJ.
Do you know what the other states charged for their application fees and their licenses? Just as a comparison.
Mr. Chair and Senator Zizek, the license fee in Montana is $19 for residents. I think they also have to have a conservation license. That's an additional fee in addition to just having a wolf license. There is not a lottery or application. In Idaho, the license fee is $11.50. They don't have a lottery either. So,
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Stark, do you have a sense for how many wolves were taken in management through other means, like last year, through U.S. Fish and Wildlife, or basically through the problem-type wolves? How many were taken last year?
Mr. Stark.
Mr. Chair, Senator Peterson, the number of wolves killed in 2011 for wildlife from livestock depredation complaints was there were 215 wolves trapped and I think 205 wolves killed. And that's up a bit from previous years. It's averaged about 170 wolves a year the last 5 years.
So, but there was 400 last year combined trapping, and you said there was 200 from what were the categories?
The total number killed was 205 wolves.
Okay. All right. That's my concern. And those were basically taken by professional trappers, people that make a living out of doing this. And concern I have is, you know, I think up in Canada, you know, there's been a wolf season for a number, and I think they've seem to be handling that okay. And my question really relates to baiting, because the funding, if I'm read correctly, the funding for eliminating these problem wolves has been all but eliminated. Is that correct?
Mr. Stark.
Mr. Chair, Senator Peterson, the funding for the Wildlife Services Depredation Program averages about $550,000 a year, and they've eliminated that budget except about $100,000 a year.
And so my question is that I've been told, I've not ever hunted a wolf, obviously, but I've been told they're very, very hard to get. Is that correct?
Mr. Stark.
Mr. Chair, Senator Peterson, it's tough to hunt a wolf primarily because of the, you know, the area that they cover. Average pack size in Minnesota is about 5 wolves in a pack, and they cover about a 40-square-mile area. That can range anywhere from 20 to 200 square miles. And so, you know, you can imagine how much area a hunter or trapper may need to cover to actually encounter or be effective at getting a wolf.
So, Mr. Chair, I mean, if we were going to use this hunting season to help offset the defunding of a program that's needed by Minnesotans in northern Minnesota, I think that's the purpose and maybe why 400 was, I guess, I would like to see us get 400 because that's probably what needs to be taken to help manage that population. And why have you it doesn't appear that baiting is allowed at all in this. Is that correct? Or
Mr. Stark?
Mr. Chair, Senator Peterson, I don't think that we've identified that baiting wouldn't be allowed. I think it is under the...
I just say in the report you're baiting allowed. One of the questions I was going to have is maybe you go through that process. Maybe we can wait for one of the trappers, but if you're going to be hunting bait, is that what you're talking about? And if you are, what means of bait it would be allowed?
Mr. Chair, we haven't really discussed the specifics of that, but I think the one thing that we identified in the bill was that you wouldn't be allowed to use the carcass of a domestic animal to bait wolves. But it would be open for other uses of or other bait that could be used.
So it'd be scent bait, basically. Senator Peterson, any further questions on that?
No, other than the follow-up, as this comes forward and as I have a chance to review bills on this issue, my concern is that we are going to get the 400, and I would like for us to look for ways to ensure we're going to get that because, you know, Minnesotans aren't going to have the option to call up U.S. Fish and Game and Wildlife, I guess, to get somebody in there to take care of these wolves. And I think we're going to find landowners using this season to help protect their livestock and property potentially, and if they're not able to have the methods to get those wolves, it's going to be a problem that is going to be very serious, and I'm not sure it's fair to ask them to deal with that and not have the tools to take care of that.
So. Senator Peterson, maybe I could ask for clarification where we do have problem wolf deprivation in the state, there's still going to be a means to be able to deal with that. Is that correct? And if it is, how are we going to go about doing that?
Mr. Chair, there is still the season isn't really intended to address depredation issues, and especially not this first season. I mean, this is more of a recreational hunting or trapping opportunity. And the depredation aspect is somewhat separate, I think. And it happens primarily in different months of the year when wolves kind of go through an annual cycle in their population numbers. We have the denning season that occurs in April or early May. You know, we may have 5 or 6 pups born in a pack. And so population numbers are pretty high that time of year. Could be, you know, twice the number that we have in the winter when the population is more stable. So the population's really high. Our depredation complaints usually occur in the summer months. And so even taking wolves in the winter during a season may not address or likely isn't going to address a lot of the depredation complaints. There are provisions in our state wolf plan and under state law that allow taking of wolves by individuals that are causing, you know, livestock conflicts. And we also have we have a program that we have certified trappers, and we're trying to increase the number of those trappers that would be available to do some of the depredation trapping.
Follow up.
So where what is not going to get done with the $400,000 in reduction of funding from the federal government?
Mr. Chair, Senator Peterson, it certainly isn't going to be the same level of if we don't have the ability to establish a contract because there's a lack of federal funding with USDA Wildlife Services, you aren't going to have that existing program that's had, you know, 30 years of experience, professional trappers, equipment, you know, all those things that they need to do the level of depredation control that we're currently doing. It's going to rely more on private trappers and individuals' ability to take wolves.
Thank you.
Senator Dames.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Stark, could you give me some idea what you feel the ideal population would be once we've had a few seasons of stuff where you'd like to be?
Mr. Stark.
Mr. Chair, Senator Dames, I think the biggest issue in regards to wolf management is managing the conflicts that occur. Our current wolf plan and allows wolves to occur naturally throughout the state, and there's no specific population objective that's been identified. And I think the primary issue is trying to manage the conflicts that, if we can address those issues and have an effective mechanism at doing that, the number of wolves could be different depending on what's a social tolerance level to have out there.
Thank you.
Senator Kielash.
Mr. Stark, you kind of stated that you think the trappers are going to be more successful, and I'm just looking for a little more background on where you make that observation from, number one. And the other thing is that will these trappers be doing this as part of a commercial fur, is there a market for wolf pelts, et cetera, that they'll be looking at, or... can you just talk a little bit about what happens with the pelts and whatever after?
Mr. Stark.
Mr. Chair, Senator Kielash. There is a market for wolf pelts, although I think in the way this season is structured with a limit of one, primarily or at least initially it's going to be personal use that people would take a wolf, preserve the pelt. You know, it could be a... something that they display, and there may, some trappers may want to sell those pelts. They probably average, currently about $100, there is a market for them, but I don't expect that to be a significant number, at least initially with this kind of season. But trapping has been a very effective tool throughout Canada and Alaska where wolf populations exist. A lot of the hunting that occurs in those areas is it's pretty limited, and because of the lower number of hunters and the more vast, I guess, wilderness areas, the impacts on the population aren't really significant, or really there isn't no measurable effect on the populations. But trappers are very effective using both traps and snares to take wolves in Canada and Alaska.
Thank you.
Mr. Stark, talk a little bit about what you just mentioned with regards to the spring. Oh, I would call it a hatch, but the spring, whatever, the birth rate of wolves and the reduction down to the number that you deal with in the wintertime or in the fall. What's the average, I think I have it now, litter. That's probably not right. What is the average birth rate? And what are some of the other things wolves die from? Car kill wolves, things like that, other predators?
Mr. Chair, the number one cause of mortality for wolves in Minnesota is human-caused mortality. It's wolves getting hit, depredation control, hit by cars. I think I didn't finish there. depredation control. There's likely some illegal shooting that goes on. We have a few wolves that show up dead in areas that, from radio collared animals that we've documented. There's a variety of things that can kill a wolf. Natural causes are one of the main natural causes is wolves are very territorial and they kill each other. Disease can be a factor, but those are the natural mortality is a a lower percent of the overall mortality than the human causes. The average litter size is probably somewhere around 5 to 6 wolves, and pup survival is usually pretty low, maybe as little as only half the pups survive each year. But we don't really have a direct measure of that, and that's one of those things that's difficult to do because it would require going in and tagging pups in the den and things like that, and that just, it's expensive. It hasn't been done in the past. It's been pretty limited where we've got that kind of detail of information. It's primarily based on average pack size in the winter months and taking an estimate of how many wolves occur in a pack that we kind of gauge that.
To follow up a little bit, the surveys you talked about, you wouldn't be starting them for a year, is that correct? And if so, why wouldn't you start a survey right now? And what time of the year do you, I guess maybe if you tell me what time of the year you do your survey, you'll answer my question.
Mr. Chair, the surveys that the DNR has conducted started back in 1978. They were initially done at 10-year intervals, and then starting in 2004, we started doing them at 5-year intervals. So since 1998, we've had three surveys. They're pretty intensive surveys. It's a statewide survey. We ask natural resource personnel and different agencies and to report information to us about where they see wolf sign and observation of wolves to kind of come up with a coarse distribution of where wolves are in the state. So over the winter months, we collect that information. And then we use specific information on radio-collared wolves that we get average pack size and the average territory size that they cover. We also model areas of the state based on minimum road density and human population density, areas of the state that wolves would likely occur based on information that's been published in the scientific literature. And we use all that information to come up with our population estimate. It's an extensive process. It takes about 6 months and costs about $50,000 to do that survey. So it's not something that is done every year.
Can you talk to the members a little bit about your closure? Should you hit that number? Should we end up with a number of 400? And on a certain date you hit 400, how does the hunter know not to go out? Is there going to be a number? Is that the thought here? The DNR will have a 1-800 number to call in? Or will there be a publication? How would that work?
Mr. Chair, the way we've discussed how that would work is that we would have both a hotline number and a website that people could track whether the season's closed or not. As we mentioned, there'd be same-day registration. So if you took a wolf, you'd have to register it by midnight that day. And then we would have a tally that would keep track of the progress of the season, and we would make an announcement on that hotline number and the website that would say whether or not the season is still open or is closed if it reaches that quota. If you're a trapper, you check that website or that hotline, it says the season's closed, you would have to pull your traps that day.
To that point, when you're talking about trapping, I know trapping, and we'll hear from the trappers; they're the experts. But I'm fairly knowledgeable in that if you're going to get a trapping permit for a wolf, you're not going to set one set. You're going to probably set several, but you're going to be required to look at them every day. What happens if you have two wolves? One morning you get up, you go out, and you find out you have two wolves. What's the process then?
I think there's potential for that to happen. Wolves travel in packs, and we've experienced that with research trapping. You get a pack of wolves, go through a trap line, and the potential to catch multiple animals. With traps, you could release a wolf and potentially uninjured. With snares, it could be quite different. So anything over the limit would likely have to be surrendered over to a conservation officer.
A similar check that you have now for trapping regulations, Mr. Bogus, maybe if a trapper is allowed to have X amount of otter, for instance, they have to all have a tag on them. Is that correct? Is that the process you'd be using?
Mr. Chair, currently we require a site validation, and then a registration where we affix a tag, where we have a season limit on otter, fisher, marten. So we'd have a similar system for when wolves are registered, they'd be tagged.
Okay. Senator Hall.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Stark, could you tell me, if you reach your quota, would there be a problem in, you know, saying, okay, now we're going to close this within the next 3 days or week after, instead of that day? I mean, I just think of, I'm probably not going to go hunting for wolves anyway, but if somebody that wouldn't get that notice right away would have a little bit of a, okay, I know I got 3 days here. Now, the other option would be you'd have a lot of guys going out those last 3 days if they knew it was going to close. Any thoughts on that?
Stark, Mr. Stark.
Mr. Chair and Senator Hall, I think we're thinking that it's reasonable that with cell phone access and internet access these days, people would be able to check this information and get it. There may be some remote areas where that's not reasonable, but we're just trying to put in a system that we think assures that we're not going to go over that number. And this is one recommendation. There may be other ways of addressing it.
Members, any further questions? Senator Scoy.
Just real briefly, do you have a more detailed map? I would assume you do. And I just have a question in my neck of the woods. What's the deal with the Zone A on the west side of the Wolf Range and what's kind of going on there? I'm in Clearwater County, just south of the Red Lakes there. It looks like there's this little knobby sticks out in the I'm just curious about it.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Stark.
And Senator Scoey, the wolf management zones are based on the federal recovery zones that were established under the wolf recovery plan. And wolf Zone A is the same as zones 1 through 4 of the federal recovery plan. Zone B is the same as zone 5 under the recovery plan. So this was an existing line that the state utilized in the wolf management planning process and was adopted for that. Zone A is considered the core wolf range, you know, very critical to wolf recovery and wolf conservation in the state. Zone B is kind of more peripheral range.
But, and Mr. Chair, for this first year, there's going to be no different rules or anything. It's just kind of a statewide season. But you might look at that differently as you learn and move forward.
Yes. Just Mr. Boggess.
Mr. Chair, Senator Scoey, that's correct for the hunting, trapping. The significance of that line starting tomorrow is that, you know, there's a lower standard for being able to take a wolf to protect livestock or pets in Zone B than there is Zone A. So that line will start to have some significance tomorrow for that purpose, but not for the hunting or trapping season, not at least this first year.
Okay, members, understand this is still in the discussion stage. These two gentlemen will be coming back when there's a bill actually introduced, and we thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Next, we'll move on to the president of the Minnesota Forest Zone Trappers, Ken. I'll let you pronounce the last name. Welcome to the committee.
Hey, Ken Wainenpaugh, president of Minnesota Forest Zone Trappers. We're here today to support the proposal to harvest the excess wolves in Minnesota. We have some concerns as a trapping group. One thing is non-resident trapping. Right now, Minnesota only allows non-resident trapping on lands that the non-resident owns. That person can trap on his own land. He cannot trap anywhere else in the state. And we do not want to allow non-residents to trap wolves only, you know, off their own property. On their own property, no problem. And the one main reason for that, if we have what we have in Minnesota, if Duluth, Minnesota, Highway 53 goes from Duluth to International Falls. Everything east of Highway 53 is critical lynx habitat zone. and that was established basically 2007. The Federal Fish and Wildlife Service came in, and the lynx is a critical species, and it affected trapping regulations and rules. It affects farming, affects mining, affects logging for the lynx. And the trappers in the forest zone in this critical lynx have adapted trapping so that lynx are not being taken. To allow non-residents to come in this wolf range, I think we're going to have big problems there. Lynx could be taken, and we could lose trapping altogether. So that's one of our concerns there. So.
Is there a point of clarification maybe for the committee that an out-of-state person comes to the state of Minnesota to trap, they have to have a minimum amount of 40 acres. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay, just so everybody understands that.
Yeah, if they own their land, they can trap on their land.
But right now, I think the proposal is the out-of-state folks can come here and actually hunt wolves.
You know, again, Chairman, we allow non-residents to hunt deer. I have no problem with non-residents hunting wolf.
All right.
It's just the trapping is in the critical lynx zone is critical. And if they, you know, if they're hunting out of a stand and they see a wolf and they see a lynx, there's a big difference.
We're going to have Mr. One second, please, if you don't mind. I'm going to have Mr. Knopf clarify the language in the bill here.
Well, Mr. Chair and members, the DNR bill, and you'll see the language in front of you, it's taken from the Game and Fish bill. It's only the wolf management part of their bill. But you can see that on page 5, line 11, it says the fee for a license to trap wolves is $50 to be issued to residents only. So this only allows a trapping license for wolves to be issued to residents only. And in fact, if you also look on page 6, the non-resident provision the witness was talking about is on that section 14. And this is being also amended by, this is the DNR language, would say that they couldn't trap wolves even on their own property. So for non-residents, they could trap other small game on their own property, but not wolves. And so they basically, there would be under this proposal, the department's proposal, there is no trapping of wolves by non-residents, even on their own property, period.
Any questions, members? Senator Gazelka.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just out of curiosity, how many trappers would you estimate there are in Minnesota?
Senator, I believe the number of license sales is around, 6,000? It varies by year.
I'm sorry, what was that number again?
Around 6,000 trapping licenses in Minnesota, give or take.
And the cost right now is to trap in Minnesota is what?
$21 for residents. Yeah. Right. Seniors is half that.
Senator Carlson.
Do I have to pull out my AARP card?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ken? I'm not going to be able to pronounce your last name. What would be the likelihood that of the trappers that we already have in the state of Minnesota that they're willing to pay $50 to trap a wolf that they can only get $100 on a pelt for?
Chairman and Senator, I personally think $50 is too high. A wolf is a wolf. If you hunt it or trap it, if you've ever been moose hunting, and once you shoot the moose and the moose is laying there, you stand back and say, wow, what do I do now? Well, a wolf is similar, but you have to skin the wolf and then put it on a board, flesh all the fat and tissue off it, and then dry it on it's about an 8.5-foot adjustable stretcher. All right, that's for a trapper. A hunter would more than likely bring that animal to a taxidermist for processing. A taxidermist can take care of that. A wolf rug, you know, as another consideration, a wolf rug probably be $600 to $700. I don't know, a lot of hunters probably would do that. I mean, not many people see a wolf. I have a hunting shack west of Cook, and there's six of us in the shack. In the last 8 years we've seen one wolf from the deer stand, and I was the one that saw it. And their wolf are present. We hear them at night. They're howling. We see our deer herd declining every year. We see a lot of wolf scat on our property, on our trails. So the wolves are there, but you really do not see them. They're a very smart animal. If you walk into your stand, depending on the wind, you know, the wolf moves. If hunters are going in with four-wheelers to their stand on their own properties in the morning, those wolves are gone. They're very smart, very cunning. I did happen to see some this winter trapping. I trap on one line by my shack. I walk, setting fisher traps. I come across around a corner, and there's a wolf standing there in broad daylight. Rare occurrence, but this wolf had mange. The tail was like a rope. The sides were, the hair was falling out. And that's a dead wolf. Mange is sarcoptic mange. It's a mite that buries itself in the skin. The wolf rubs its hair out, or hair falls out, and in cold weather will kill that wolf. I saw two other wolves that day, which is rare, and they had mange also. Overcrowding causes mange. Mange can spread to fox, coyotes, wolves. Mange can spread to humans. If you handle that, it's a mite. In humans, it's called scabies. The mite will get under your skin, and you have 2 weeks of scratching and itching, and it will go away. But if you survive that 2 weeks, you should, you know. But that's why the mange is caused by overcrowding. And I believe that the DNR is underestimating the amount of wolves, but I do understand the difficulty in coming up with a figure. I mean, how do you count a wolf in the woods? I mean, it's really difficult, and I don't know the answer for that. But we do need to harvest. And if we can, one senator talked about if we're not going to reach that limit, it's the first year the DNR said it's going to be conservative. Maybe we'll only harvest 200 or 300. One thing on a 400 number factor is if you go over by 20, so what? I mean, it's 400, 420. You close the season. You're not going over by 400. We're not going to shoot 800 wolves, but it might be 420, 430, 410. It's something that, you know, can be looked at. This first season will be a learning season. And we do support the season, the trapping portion, everybody. It's not that easy. You know, a wolf is a smart animal.
Any other questions? Thank you very much for your testimony. We'll move on to members from the Farmers Union and Cattlemen's Association, Tom Peterson and Bruce Clevin. Welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Tom Peterson. I represent the Minnesota Farmers Union, and we're very supportive of the creation of a hunting season to take wolves. We did poll our members. We've been talking about this with our members. I've done several meetings up in especially northeastern Minnesota, and the thought there is that they're, I'd say, very, very supportive of having the hunting season during the deer hunting season and not later in the year. And so that's the one thing that we'd urge consideration. And as you're looking at this and we're talking to the DNR, that's the one thing we'd like to say. I'd also like to say that just because the wolf got delisted and that hunters can now, or farmers can, you know, protect their livestock, they're, you know, like we've heard today, wolves are hard to find. And, you know, not all farmers want to go out and trap and shoot a wolf on their property and have the ability to, so that the federal trappers have been very happy, are very helpful to the farmers. I had a farmer that I've been working with in Ogilvie. It's just an hour north of here, and they lost their dog on their farm. And they had the federal trappers this fall took seven wolves off of their farm just an hour north of here. And, you know, and it's too bad that program ended, and it's good to hear that the DNR is working. And we've been trying to work with the DNR and our federal delegation. Talked with Senator Klobuchar's staff this morning that, you know, she continues to work with the USDA to see if we can get some money and some dollars, especially for this year, you know, once we know what it's going to look like. But the people on this side of the table and Senator Gazelka, you know, calves are going to start hitting the ground in February, March, April. These are when you're going to start getting calls, and there's nobody to go out and trap them or shoot them. And that is a concern for us this year. So that's why we're trying to get this, you know, do the get the some trappers out there this year, and then see how the numbers go, and then address it as an ongoing thing. But I think this year is the one concern on having some money for the federal for some state federal trappers. There's language in the bill for like a co-op agreement that's always been there. And so that's the one thing we urge you to consider, too, as we go, is how we're going to get from today till our hunting season this fall. Thank you.
Mr. Klavan.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Bruce Klavan, for the record, Minnesota State Cattlemen. It's good to be back here in room 107. We echo much of what Tom said. Our members put our president got a one-pager. I think Mr. Carbo got it ahead of the committee, if you have it in your packet. But to highlight that, our board has not taken a position on the specifics of the hunting season yet. They did want to point out that one concern here is to make sure that we don't overhunt and get back into a situation where we end up back on the delisting. And I know the department is not interested in that, and I don't think anybody here is. So we want to keep tabs on that number as we move forward so we don't dip below it. Also, as Mr. Peterson said, the funding with the trappers and the management plan itself, we want to make sure that that is in place. And, of course, we're working with the department on fees and licensing and so forth as we go. So we'll defer to our sheet we handed out and stand for questions.
Members, any questions of the two witnesses? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Members.
Next, I have Tom Casey. Welcome to the committee.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm Tom Casey, and I don't represent anybody. I'm just here asking questions, trying to understand where we are with our wolf policy. I did come to the meeting this morning in the House committee and learned some things there. And I guess the questions I'd like to see the senators ask and be answered to the public in general is, why a wolf hunt now? Why a trapping season now? I guess I did hear more this afternoon that it's a recreational policy as opposed to a need to control predators. You have a funding issue, I think, as to how to fund continuing predators. The question to you would be, are there other mechanisms to pay for funding for what I think appears to be well-deserved compensation and regulation of wolves when they go to the extent of killing cattle and pets. Could you do something like we have on tax forms or used to, the chickadee checkoff, where maybe there's people that do like to see those 400 wolves as opposed to shoot the 400 wolves and see them on walls? Perhaps there's a volunteer mechanism by which people who are interested in that side of the equation could donate to compensate farmers and to help wolf depredation be mitigated without any more tax dollars going on to that. Along with that, why there was a five-year moratorium in the wolf plan. The five-year moratorium was repealed last session. I guess I haven't heard why it's necessary to repeal that hunting moratorium, since it's recreation only and not necessarily for wolf depredation issues with farmers. So those are questions I'd like to hear answers to. If you don't have them today, I understand that, but I'd like to be monitoring this, and I think the citizens of Minnesota would like to see other ways of looking at this issue as opposed to the day after the feds have delisted wolves, all of a sudden now we're all ready to pounce on them and shoot wolves. And I just don't understand the policy reason, other than some people who are hunters think it's their right to come in and ask for that. Well, it is their right, but it's our right to ask why now, and are there other ways to enjoy recreation outdoors? So I appreciate any answers you have today, and thanks for listening.
Thank you very much for those concerns, and the DNR, of course, is available to answer those questions, I think. And I think it's, you know, I'm just going to go out on the limb a little bit here and say the five-year waiting period after the delist was it was pretty clear to me and clear to this group last year with regards to managing a potential overpopulation of an animal in Minnesota, like we do with deer, or like we do with any other animal. And but that's just me thinking. Now that's not me wanting to, as you call it, pounce on the wolf. I think we got to be very careful, and I think you've heard people here being very careful. Yes. About respecting the animal. And those of us that sit in this committee wouldn't be here if we didn't, because we really do. So, but we'll move forward with those questions, and if you could find somebody here to ask those questions. Again, this is not over with. We'll be coming back, and we're more than happy to answer those questions. So, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you. Ron, excuse me. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay, Mr. Chairman. I was just going to say, you know, the only real way that I think that we'll ever permanently lower the wolf population is something we don't want, is if our habitat is gone. And I think we work hard through Lassard Sams and our management policies and forests and the like to keep the habitat the way it is. And I think we'll have a healthy wolf population if we have good habitat.
A follow-up question, Mr. Chair, is a question to answer is, what is a healthy wolf population number that we should be achieving? Because I understand there is no maximum limit. There's just a minimum that we don't want to get to again, otherwise they'll go on the federal list. So I'd like to hear some biology as to what is a maximum number, because I'm not sure that the 400 takes that in consideration.
And we'll certainly have that at the next time we get together, that science. Next, Mr. Goldman. Howard, representing the Humane Society, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Howard Goldman, and I'm the Minnesota State Director for the Humane Society of the United States, and I appreciate the opportunity to offer our comments here this afternoon. We have 170,000 members in the state, and protection of the wolf is a high priority for our organization. I was a member of the Wolf Roundtable in 1998, and our organization did oppose the delisting, and we did oppose the public hunts during the comment period, Fish and Wildlife Service, back in July. Wolves haven't recovered. They only occupy 5% of their historic range in the United States. The Humane Society of the United States was the lead party in the lawsuits in 2007, in 2009, and we successfully challenged Fish and Wildlife's delisting rule. We've taken no decision thus far on whether to litigate in the most current instance. We're reviewing the DNR's proposals, both the legal side and also the science. We want to be sure we fully understand the impact of take of 400 on the wolf population. However, we are pleased to see that the department has taken a conservative approach on this. Mr. Chair, I appreciate your comments as well in this regard. The DNR stated its goal. Well, it's twofold. One is to assure the long-term survival of the wolf population. The other is to manage conflict. In our view, hunting, and trophy hunting and trapping, which raises a whole other set of issues, we believe undermines that goal. With respect to trapping, the issue of the take of non-target animals, injuries to wildlife, the taking of hunting dogs, for example, which was highlighted very recently in an article in the Star Tribune, and I'm sure no one intended to take hunting dogs using traps. Moreover, as the DNR indicated earlier, under the new wolf management plan, owners of livestock and domestic animals can now legally shoot a wolf, which they couldn't do before. In addition, compensation has been paid to livestock owners when there's been verified cases of depredation. Last year was over $100,000 paid by the Department of Agriculture, and we fully support that program. I went to the hearings in Grand Rapids on the delisting. I was also in Ashland, Wisconsin for the hearings. And the issue of depredations, of course, came up. I went back and I checked with the USDA, the Wildlife Services Program. That's the agency that does the, that is authorized to take wolves that have depredated on livestock. In only 91 instances of cattle, or I should say cows and calves, were verified last year in the state. Now, that's out of a total population of 165,000 cows in wolf territory. That is less than 0.1%. And we don't believe that really constitutes a basis for a season. As you all know, Fish and Wildlife Service will continue to monitor the population for 5 years after the delisting. In our view, public input is really a critical piece of this. I know the department has addressed that in their press release. We'd like to see hearings, at least a minimum of 3 hearings in the northern part of the state, of course, in the metropolitan area and in the southern part of the state, to ensure that there's transparency in the process and you do have public input at every step of the way. Moreover, the use of best practices, non-lethal methods, there's considerable research on this, both in Minnesota and Wisconsin, and for that matter, out west as well. Several of these non-lethal methods have proved to be very effective. We want to be certain that the department integrates all of those methods into their wolf management plan. There's fairly extensive studies on the counties where wolf depredations have occurred, and the highest numbers are in Carlton, Kitson and Beltrami, St. Louis, and in Cass County. And we want to be sure those instances are addressed by the department and the USDA with respect to non-lethal methods. Minnesotans care deeply about wolves and want to see this population protected. And I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to make these comments. Any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them.
Thank you, Mr. Goldman. Any questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
Okay, next up, I believe Minnesota Trappers Association, Don Christensen and Sean Johnson. Are they here? Welcome to the committee.
Thank you.
Please state your name and who you represent and where you come from.
My name is Con Christensen. I'm the legislative liaison for the Minnesota Trappers Association. I live in Stacy, Minnesota.
My name is Sean Johnson. I'm the president of Minnesota Trappers Association, relying on my mouthpiece Con here beside me to handle most of the questions in the proper protocol. I'm happy to be here.
Both of you are welcome.
Thank you.
I'd like to make some comments with regards to the issue at hand, please.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Our comments will be very short. We're early in the process here. We have some general things to say regarding both the season as it would be used as a harvest and the depredation program as it would be applied to the wolf. First, the season. We would like to see a November through January season. There have been other proposals. Now, this would be, in our mind, for both trapping and hunting. We think there would be a lottery system, and we would expect the DNR to set the specifics for that, whether it would be a lottery that would be a certain number and then a declaration made after success in the lottery, whether you wanted to trap or hunt, or whether you could do both, whether you want set separate numbers for trapping and hunting. I guess we'll see how that works out in the details during rulemaking. We think the DNR should do the specifics, set fees, harvest levels, dates, methods of hunting and trapping, and again, the public process of rulemaking and public input meetings would be a good way to get information from the public in our minds on this proposals. We would like to see a conservative approach to the seasons, and that's fairly obvious from listening to the testimonies and the discussion so far that everybody's pretty much on the same page there, so we won't say anything about that. There were some proposals that have been made where there's a differences, where there are differences between the fees for hunting and trapping. I guess we'd like to see the DNR work that out. Again, we would then be able to comment through the public comment systems that are in place. As far as depredations are concerned, we're quite concerned that certification of trappers be done by the DNR and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. We think that depredation situations, as far as taking the correct animal, is dependent on the skill and the methods that the trapper uses. And if an amateur trapper, a non-certified, person would go in there that wasn't experienced, there could be a trap shy animal created, and then your depredation problems would probably continue. There are other reasons for certification, of course, but we aren't interested in going into those right now today. But beyond that, I guess, Sean, if you have anything to say or if there are questions of the committee.
Mr. Johnson, any comments?
I'm sorry,
Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, do I have a comment? We're pretty excited about the possibility of holding a management a season on wolves here in Minnesota. Hasn't been legal basically in my adulthood. I've got three young boys and a wife that have a real interesting family outing out chasing wolves. And I have to emphasize that, these first seasons, it's not about pelt prices or anything in the minds of most. These are trophies. And they're going to be going to taxidermists, and they're going to be going to tanneries, and they're going on the wall and photographs. And that's, at least initially, it's going to be the trophy status. This is going to be a one-time deal, and I would very much doubt that many of these are going to make it to the market, at least initially. But we're excited about the possibility of getting control again. If you field any questions, I can try.
Any questions, members? Well, we learned a lot of different terms today. Trap shy, I guess that's something that I guess it makes sense. If you don't get them the first time, they get a little smarter as they go, I understand. So, members, we're going to be – thank you very much, by the way.
Thank you.
We're going to be hearing of this again, as you know. Just for a point of interest, we have thought about maybe bringing the committee up to the northeast part of the state. I know it's not a very desirable place to go, but nevertheless, versus west central Minnesota, but nevertheless, it probably would be a good idea to get some input from up there. But we're just in the early stages of thinking about that.
Ely Wolf Center,
Senator Kelash said that he would take us up there. Yeah, we could do that tour the Wolf Center.
Is that on the budget for the committee?
We're looking into that, Senator. We're looking for donations, actually, too. So, with that, thank you very much for the good discussion, and meeting stands adjourned.
Well, I used to work at
Scribble, ideas.
Usually they say name who they represent more than their phone.